We're going to move now, and we're going to go to the more senior people, the PIs on our different trials and sites. And we have our own Iris Davis and Laura Behnken, who are going to ask us some questions. Do we know what our responsibilities are as a PI at a site? So I'm going to turn things over to them.
Thank you, Joe. I am going to share my screen. Okay, can everyone see the slides? Okay. All right, so we are going to talk about some of the responsibilities of Site PI, and we thought that this would be a good topic for the group as we are now moving into StrokeNet 3.0 and we have some new sites on board. We've added three new RCCs as well. So as Dr. Khatri mentioned earlier, we will be putting out some polling questions at the end of the talk. And also for your reference, these slides were made based off of GCP guidelines and also some of the StrokeNet SOPs. So we'll have some references throughout. We wanted to start with the process of site selection. So how exactly is a site selected to participate in a StrokeNet trial? This happens during the startup phase. Each trial distributes a site-level assessment to select their sites. And they basically have several different questions on the assessment, and it varies depending on the trial. But generally, the survey asks about the patient population at each site, the PI and the research team's experience, the site's research infrastructure, and then past performance in other StrokeNet trials. This survey comes from the trial team to the RCCs, who are then responsible for distributing that survey to their performance sites, and then in turn entering information in WebDCU. Once the site receives it, it is the responsibility of the site PI to participate in and respond to the survey in a timely manner. So we did create some guidance on site startup timelines and expectations since we are always keeping an eye on this metric. And this guidance now goes out with all of our startup communication. And we are really trying to enforce some of these timelines. So that site selection survey that we just talked about on the last slide, after an RCC sends it to a site, the deadline to return it to the RCC is 3 weeks. If the site is then selected to participate in the trial, the next process is to execute a clinical trial agreement and return the regulatory packet. And these two processes can happen in parallel or they can happen one after the other, just kind of depending on the specific situation at the site. These ones are critical for our timelines. Both of the deadlines are 6 to 8 weeks. We also say that if the CTA or the regulatory packet are not completed within 12 weeks, or there's another timeline that's communicated with the trial team, the trial PA may decide to drop that site. So again, we're trying to enforce some timelines here just to get a better hold on our startup metrics as a network. The next thing we want to talk about are essential documents, which are the documents that individually and collectively permit the evaluation of the conduct of a trial and the quality of the data produced. So some examples are CVs, 1572s, licenses, different kinds of approvals, regulatory approvals, contracts, source documents, things of that nature. So this is typically the study coordinator who's tasked with collecting and filing these documents, but it is the PI's ultimate responsibility to ensure that everything is collected and maintained appropriately in WebDCU and also according to local requirements. We did want to touch on the 1572, which is a form that is only required for our IND studies. And what it does is it documents that the PI agrees to comply with FDA regulations related to the conduct of a trial. It also documents the site investigator list and the site location. This document should be completed before the start of the study, and then it should be updated whenever there's a PI change or a change to the specified investigator team, and that should happen within 30 days of said change. And then the electronic version is uploaded to its appropriate placeholder in WebDCU. The next thing is documenting delegation. So we know that the site PI holds overall responsibility for the trial, and they then delegate specific tasks to specific people. It is the PI's responsibility to confirm that any person to which a study task is delegated is qualified and trained to perform that task. And it's also the PI's responsibility to ensure that that qualified person is added to the delegation log prior to performing any study-related procedures involving a participant. So, in order to document oversight, the electronic delegation log should actually be printed, signed, and dated by the PI upon adding any new personnel. So, the electronic delegation log that's maintained in WebDCU is actually it's maintained to set user permissions in the system. And for those of you who have been involved in some of the trials that we've closed out, it is a requirement to print the electronic delegation log at the end of the study, have the PI sign it and upload it to WebDCU. But it's also best practice, and it's also written in this StrokeNet SOP, Good Clinical Practice Number 12, that the DOA should be printed, signed, and dated with each change. The next is investigational product. The PI must ensure that the investigational product or IP is stored securely and in the proper environment. Oftentimes, this is most IP responsibilities are delegated to the licensed pharmacist on your team, but it is ultimately the responsibility of the PI. The dispensing record is another thing to keep a close eye on. We need to make sure that it matches with what's documented on the CRFs related to which participants actually receive IP. And this is also subject to monitoring throughout the course of a trial. At the end of the study, the PI is responsible for accounting for and shipping any remaining supplies to the sponsor, or they could be destroyed at the site, just depending on what supplies they are and which trial it's for. The informed consent document, arguably one of the most important things that we do in research, this is the responsibility of the PI or the person that they designate. To obtain informed consent from all study participants prior to any study procedures being conducted. The exception here is EFIC. So, FASTIS, for example, is a StrokeNet trial that falls under EFIC. The process of informed consent is an ongoing interaction between the PI and/or the designee with the participant or LAR. And this continues throughout the life cycle of the study, from recruitment through study closure. It's really important to have oversight of these conversations as the PI because there's a possibility that a participant may not continue their participation in the trial, and it's the PI's responsibility to honor that wish. The informed consent document may be revised, and participants or LARs may need to be reconsented. This is also a site PI responsibility to ensure that reconsent is obtained if deemed necessary by the central IRB. And we'll hand the next slides to you.
So for data collection, the site PI must ensure that all data collected on the case report forms are accurate and match any supporting data. And if you don't know already, WebDCU does provide case report forms to get to them from the main dashboard of a trial. You hit the project setup button and then the CRF collection schedule, where you can print the CRFs either by visit or for the entire length of the participants' time in the study. For the PI to certify that that the data collected on the CRFs support the source data, a PI would sign via wet signature on the printout of Form F-126, which is the end of study CRF. We have an image of it on the left here of Saturn's end of study visit. You can see on the bottom, it's highlighted where the PI would print, sign, and date to certify that. Source data are any clinical findings or observations in a study. They can be originals or certified copies. And the purpose of source documents is to collect relevant data and support the data on the case report forms. The PI is responsible for ensuring that data are verified and follow an audit trail. Case report forms documentation should not contradict what's on source data. The data should be attributable, legible, contemporaneous, original, accurate, and complete. The PI must also ensure that the site records are stored securely, but available for monitoring and any auditing purposes. So for adverse event assessments and reporting, your study coordinator at your site has the ability and can enter that AE information into WebDC for you, but it is only the PI or another delegated medically trained person who should be assessing the adverse event for if it is serious or not serious, expected or not expected, related or not related to the research study. The PI is responsible for ensuring that all serious adverse events are submitted without errors into WebDCU within 24 hours of knowledge of an event. If you need instructions on how to fill out the adverse event form in WebDCU, you're in luck because there are detailed instructions in the data collection guidelines. If you need to get your hands on this, it is in every trial toolbox under project documents. For unanticipated problems and events, these are serious adverse events that are related to the study and unexpected, but they can also be events that may place study subjects or other unexpected risk to someone else during the study. It is the site PI's responsibility to report these unanticipated problems or events into WebDCU within 24 hours of first knowledge of the event. For full instructions on how to report these, you can go to StrokeNet SOP 12, which is CIRB reporting on the StrokeNet website. Next slide, please. For monitoring visits, the NDMC will occasionally schedule monitoring visits at your site. Their focus is to evaluate study conduct and perform source document verification. To prepare for your monitoring visit, you can ensure that all of your CRFs are completed. You can confirm that all of the serious adverse event forms have been submitted and are available for review. And make sure that you organize your study files to be reviewed. After a monitoring visit, the PI and the site is responsible for responding to any action items that your monitor has given you and to confirm receipt of the monitoring report. For more details on monitoring visits, you can go to the StrokeNet website and check out SOP 19, which is data monitoring, or StrokeNet SOP GCP 9, which is site performance monitoring, audits, and inspections. Next slide, please. So this last slide is a friendly reminder that trial PIs are contractually obligated to have good communication skills with the trial teams. There is language in all of our StrokeNet CTAs that said that the PI will be responsible to respond to emails within 2 to 5 business days. With that being said, would you get kicked out of a trial for not replying to one email in this time frame? No, you won't. But we will be having discussions with PIs who display a pattern of unresponsiveness.